It's an absolute pleasure to be joined right now by former Olympic gold medalist and current TNA superstar, Kurt Angle. And first off, Kurt, thanks so much for joining us here on JerryPark.com.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
So, Kurt, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up a newsworthy story from just a couple of weeks ago involving you and an alleged DUI. Do you care to share any light on that incident?
Oh, yeah. Basically, I came out of a restaurant. It wasn't a nightclub. It was actually at 1 in the afternoon, not 1 in the morning. So the whole media got all screwed up. That's why I haven't done any interviews with the media, because they've been completely idiots about it. But basically, I went in, had lunch, had two beers, and when I came out of the thing, I guess a lady alleged said that I cut her off. So I drove down the road and went home, and basically, at the time, I was talking to my writer about the show with TNA, and about 15 minutes later, a cop came to my house and put me through tests. I actually passed them. I passed the breathalyzer. They weren't happy. They wanted me to go to a hospital to get a blood test. My attorney told me not to do it, so I just went with what my attorney told me to do, and so they charged me with a DUI anyway. And anyway, there's a preliminary hearing next month, and it looks like it's going to get dropped, but you know, the damage is already done. It went in the media for no reason, and the whole case was horrible. A friend of mine that was a police officer came that night to check on me, and the media showed up, and the sergeant lied and said it was an ongoing investigation when actually it was a friend coming to see how I was doing. So everything got blown out of proportion, but you know what? It's just justice will be done, and you know, when justice is served, I'll be named innocent, and I'll get through it. It's just a little roadblock.
And how disappointing was this whole situation for you? Because it seemed as though, you know, the last year in TNA, everything was going great. You've kind of turned your life around from your final days in WWE, and then all of a sudden your name gets out involved with this. Personally, was this just heartbreaking?
You know what? You're right. For me, on behalf of TNA, I felt bad for TNA. I felt bad for my family, my daughter having to go to school, you know, the community. You know, TNA doesn't need this. And it was like, you know, if I was careless or whatever, to an extent, it had nothing to do with my alcohol content. It had everything to do with the police. They were out to get me. You know, it's no secret, you know, my history. You know, I've admitted to when I broke my neck using steroids that at that particular time. I went to a doctor, and he illegally got them online. I did it legally, prescribed, and he illegally got them online. So he actually is the one being prosecuted, but my name came up in Sports Illustrated. And I also admitted to being addicted to painkillers, and I got through all that. And I don't drink, which is kind of funny. So, you know, every once in a while I'll have a beer after a show or whatever, but I'm not an adamant drinker. And when this happened, I was just completely caught off guard. And, you know, when I passed the breathalyzer, I looked at the police like, can you leave my house now? Because, you know, my lawyer said, listen, they have no firsthand knowledge that you're driving. So, and then you pass the breathalyzer, they really don't have a case. And so it was just basically the police seeing a, you know, a big name in their community, and they wanted to get their 15 minutes of fame, and basically that's what happened. But I feel bad for Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett. They worked so hard with me, and I've worked so hard to get TNA back on the map, and now we have 2 hours on Spike. We're doing tremendously well. So, yeah, it was a little dent in armor, but, you know, they supported me 100%. They believed me, and they trust me, and they believe in me, and they know that you know, I'm not the kind of person that's going to mess up again. So yeah, it hurt a little bit, but it's not gonna damage anything that we're doing right now.
So when the news came out regarding this alleged DUI, did TNA management talk to you about possible, you know, reprimanding you or anything, or did they just want to see, you know, whether or not the truth would come out and then take it from there?
I called Jeff Jarrett, I called Dixie Carter, I told them what happened, and they believed me. And the thing was, they wanted my attorney to come out with a statement saying that I was innocent, and that's what my attorney did. But he has to do it within the parameters of what the law will allow him. In other words, he doesn't want to talk too much about the case, because if he does, then the police will have you know, they'll be over-prepared for the case when really there are a lot of mistakes that happen. And all they wanted was for me to get my name cleared. There was no reprimanding. There was no possible firing. They actually backed me up because they know I have my act together. And it was just difficult for me and for me and my family. And, you know, my wife stood by my side. She actually, she's the one that stopped the cops when I was, I agreed to do the blood test. And I was on my way to the hospital, and she was on the phone with my agent / lawyer, and she stopped the cops. And she said, "Get him out of the car. He's not going." And so I just listened to my agent. And basically, you know, the thing is, you know, I take medications right now that don't affect my motor skills. But it's something that it's my own, you know, it's my own privacy, and it's not something that my agent wanted to become public. And it has a lot to do with my neck. It's not steroids. It's more of it's not a painkiller. It's more of a pain blocker, and it's just stuff like that that, you know, they're going to try to get you on anything, and basically, you know, here I am with my act together, everything's going well, and then, you know, the police saw one opportunity, which I never go out of my house when I'm at home. They saw one opportunity to get me, and they weren't going to pass it up.
All right, so let's transition into some more interesting and more positive conversation, especially for you and your career. I mean, your name in the world of mixed martial arts has come up everywhere as of late. First, it was with the UFC. Then we heard some talks involving Bodog. And most recently, you were at one of the IFL events, the International Fight League. Can you talk about what is the latest between you and the IFL? Is there any type of relationship brewing there?
Yes, there is. There's actually ongoing talks. You know, I had a little setback this week. I got really sick, and at one of the TVs on Tuesday, I was throwing up all night, and I kinged my neck a little bit, and it made me, you know, I was actually talking to IFL about doing a fight very soon, and it made me realize that, hey, I might want to step back a little bit, you know, see how I feel, see how the situation goes with the coaching first. IFL would like me to coach first, and then pursue the fighting. So there is a possibility of me fighting, and if it does occur, it will be within a year. IFL is behind me 100%, and I'm behind them 100%. And the reason why I like the IFL is, one, they're backed by USA Wrestling. So they're backed by the Olympic Committee, and that was important to me. Two, they weren't in such a hurry to get me to go out to fight. They were actually more concerned with me getting there, get my feet wet, let me coach a little bit, learn a little bit more mixed martial arts while I'm there with Henzo Gracie, with the Pit Bulls, the New York Pit Bulls, who I'd be coaching with. And then once I get my feet wet, you know, then get into it instead of just diving right into it. Because if I'm going to do it, I decide I'm not going to do it with a no-name. If I fight, I'm just going to be a big-name fighter. And it's probably only going to be once or twice. I'm 38 years old now. I've had 5 neck injuries, 2 neck surgeries, 3 broken necks. And, you know, I just have to be very selective about what I do. And I don't want to damage my future with TNA because it's growing rapidly, and that's my first priority.
So is the IFL deal signed, sealed, and delivered, or you guys are still negotiating where to the point where it might actually not happen?
You know what? It's an ongoing deal. It was almost signed, but this week, when I dinged my neck a little bit, wrestling sting, you know, I had to back up because we were actually in the negotiations about doing a fight. I'm not going to tell you with who, but I will tell you he's a very big name, a legendary. Let's just say that he's a Hall of Famer in MMA, and we were talking about doing a deal, but I had to back it up and say, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to rush it. I don't want anybody to think it's a work, you know what I mean, not real. I want them to believe that it is real, because if I go out there, it is going to be real. And I want to do it the right way. I want to be well prepared. So, you know, we slowed up the talk and decided, you know, let me coach first. Let's not talk about the fight yet. When I'm good and ready, we'll talk about the fight, work out the deals. And, you know, the IFL, I'll be honest with you, they're not giving me the most money. they just gave me the best opportunity for me. In other words, you know, they're letting me get prepared. They're not trying to rush the situation. You know, when I talked to Dana White, he wanted me to do Ultimate Fighter 5 real quick and, you know, do the coaching there and then get in there and fight. He really didn't care about my future after that one fight, although he was willing to pay me a significant amount of money, more than anybody else. I just felt that it was a rushed situation. And same thing with Bulldog, unfortunately. So, you know, all this talk, you know, both organizations would tell you that I'm probably blowing smoke, but it has a lot to do with me. You know, I'm on the road, you know, doing, you know, wrestling, doing promotions, getting involved in movies and TV and movies and stuff. And, you know, I'm on the road a good 180 days a year. So for me to train, it's kind of difficult. And, you know, that's the thing I had to let them understand is, you know, fighting isn't my life like it is with all these other guys. I have so many other opportunities and so many other things going on. I want to fight. I love watching fighting. I'm a fan of fighting. I want to be a fighter. But if I had 100% time to do it, I would have already done it. So, you know, you got to remember, I'm at a big disadvantage because I already do have a job. And my job is wrestler number one. And number two is to get into acting. And number three is to fight.
So since that's kind of your pecking order, there are a lot of naysayers out there that say that you just keep throwing your name out in the MMA world but really have no intentions of getting in there. Do you feel any obligation now that you've kind of flirted with these groups for over a year now to actually, you know, prove these naysayers wrong, or are you just kind of looking for the best deal and whatever happens, happens?
I'm looking for everything. I'm looking for the best deal, the best situation. And, you know, what I mean that is I'm not going to go out there and get myself hurt and not show up for my work. TNA is my work. That's my life. That's my job. You know, I got a couple movies coming up that I got, that I'll be filming, thank God. And when I'm doing this, I can't train. So, you know, I have to look out for my best situation when the best time is where I got 4 straight months, and that's all I need is 4 months of solid training where I'll only be doing TVs and pay-per-views for TNA and nothing else, and I'll be training full-time. Then, when that opportunity comes to, you know, fruition, then I can talk about fighting. You know, when I talk about fighting, I'm not just going to go out there with just my Olympic wrestling skills and try to fight a well-rounded mixed martial artist. I'm going to try my best to be well-prepared for whoever it is and not just learn, you know, striking, but also learn submission, defense to submission. I'm very good on my back, which was surprising to me because I was never on my back in wrestling. You know, my striking on my feet got really good, and the only thing that I couldn't do real well was finish somebody off. In other words, submit somebody, and that's something I wanted to work on. Other than that, I felt that I was pretty solid. So, you know, there are a lot of good fighters out there that don't finish people off. You know, I'll give you an example. Randy Couture, well-conditioned athlete, not a great finisher, not a submission guy, but he gets the job done. People love him. You know, I can't compare myself to Randy, although, you know, in wrestling I could have beat him easily. In fighting, he has proven himself to be one of the greatest ever. And I have all the respect in the world for him. So if I'm going to fight, I want to make sure I'm well prepared.
And you've accomplished so much in the amateur wrestling world, one of the greatest of all time, and right now probably one of the greatest professional wrestling stars of definitely the last decade or so. What do you have to prove, especially in going into MMA at the age of 38 with the injuries? Do you think that it might actually do more harm than good? I mean, you've got such a great image right now in both of those worlds, amateur and professional wrestling. Is it really worth trying to step into this unknown world?
Well, you know what? I'm going to be 39 December, so there's no chance we fight at 38 years of age. Will it do more damage? It could. I mean, you know, I could get hurt. You know, losing isn't going to help my career. But you know what? I watch it, and there's just a hunger there to want to do it. So, you know, right now, I don't want to lie to the fans. I respect the fans, and I don't want to lie to the fighters and lead them on. I don't want to lie to the promoters. I just want to do what's best for Kurt Angle. And right now, what's best for Kurt Angle is getting in there and get my feet wet, you know, letting me coach for a little while, and seeing if I'm capable of doing it. You know, I'm actually filming Pros versus Joes this week. I'm going to beat up on some Joes, and it's basically takedown wrestling. And, you know, I'm going to see how I feel when I do that, although that's nothing close to mixed martial arts. But, you know, it's something that is outside the realm of pro wrestling. And, you know, I haven't stepped on a wrestling mat in 11 years. So, you know, it's going to be really different for me. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that challenge. But, you know, in the long run, you know, if I do MMA, I just want to be remembered as not a guy that just went in there and wanted to make the big buck. I want to go in there and be remembered as a guy that, you know what, at least prepared himself as best as he could and went out there and did his best and not just tried to make the money. I don't need the money. And that's why I told you I didn't take the best deal. You know, there are offers that I could have made a few million dollars in one fight. But, you know, I'm looking at what's best for me. And right now what's best for me is to stick with wrestling, pro wrestling, and start to coach MMA. And if I feel the time is right and I feel the situation is the right situation and the fighter is the right fighter to fight, I'll do it. So there is no lying. I'm not trying to BS anybody. I just want them to know that I am trying to do it. It's just that I got to find time to be able to train to do it. I can't just go in there and fight one of the best fighters ever and expect to do well. That's not going to happen. But if I get 4 months where I can solidly train, I know I can compete with anybody.
Kurt, do you have a couple more minutes to stay with us, or do you need to run?
No, yeah, I got a couple more minutes.
I just wanted to ask you about TNA, and coming off of one of the biggest pay-per-views in TNA history this past week, Bound for Glory in Atlanta, Georgia. You actually dropped the title to Sting, but there's going to be a rematch later on this week on Spike TV. It's now been exactly almost a year since you've joined TNA. How would you describe your experience thus far in Total Nonstop Action Wrestling?
You know what? I will say that it's been up and down, but really it's been real positive because it's been a growing experience. I'm watching a company grow, and I'm growing with the company. You know, TNA, they were at 1 hour when I was there, and, you know, they were almost doing a one. Now, you know, we're doing the other one solidly, and now we're going to 2 hours, so God willing, we can hit, you know, a two and compete with WWE. That's the whole idea. But it's good to know that there's another company out there that's willing to go 100% and compete against Vince McMahon. You know, we just signed a huge name that will premiere at the next pay-per-view. I can't tell you who, but I will tell you that he's won every world title there is to win, and he's a phenomenal athlete. So signing that guy is going to help us out big time. But my match with Sting at the pay-per-view was, you know, what Sting said, one of his best ever. And, you know, you have to give it to Sting. You know, at the age of 49 or 50, whatever he is, he still has it. I mean, he went out there and he performed, and he did an incredible job. And I thought it was a great match, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. We actually had even a better match, which will be shown this Thursday. It was the rematch, which Sting and I had, which was even better than the one at the pay-per-view. So, you know, all in all, it was a great experience wrestling Sting, and I'm looking forward to the next coming months.
You mentioned that you guys have just signed a big name. You can't drop us the scoop right now, or is it kind of tight lip?
It's tight lip, but you could say that you could probably make the guess just by you know, who left WWE and who's available at the time. But I really can't say. But I will say that it's definitely going to help our ratings, and it's definitely going to help TNA. And this guy, all around, overall, from a promo standpoint to an acting standpoint to a wrestling standpoint, is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now, which is going to help us dramatically. We need a guy like him, and TNA being able to get a guy like him is huge.
Do you, now that you've been gone a year from WWE, and obviously it's a whole different vibe in TNA as opposed to World Wrestling Entertainment, do you ever miss working for Vince McMahon in Stamford, Connecticut for WWE?
Well, when I decided to quit, you know, I decided to quit because I was run down. You know, I was doing it for 7 years. Even when I was injured, you know, Vince McMahon had me on the road, whether I was general manager, working as an agent, you know, helping with the writing. I never really took any time off. And, you know, when I needed it most, they weren't allowing me to. And that's when I was addicted to the painkillers, and that's when I was injured. And, you know, it got frustrating. And I realized that the best situation for me was to basically get out of it and take a look at a different perspective. And I turned the channel one day, and I started watching TNA, and I said, wow, they got some phenomenal athletes. They got guys, better athletes than WWE. I said, you know, they might not be as big of names right now, but eventually they're going to be. And I would love to be able to wrestle a lot of these guys. And before I knew it, you know, when I decided to quit and Vince McMahon, thank God, released me, I called Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett right away. And they were up in my house within 2 days. And we made that deal that day. I mean, it was one of the happiest days of my life. And I have to say that I have never been happier working with TNA and with my wife, Karen, joining. I think she's been a great addition. Now I've been able to spend more time with my wife. My family comes down. It's in Orlando where we do the taping, so my kids can go to Orlando during the day. And it's just been a great family experience for me. And my wife being with me, it's been a lot of fun working with her.
Yeah, your wife's been absolutely great on TNA. And there's a lot of people out there that have said, there's a lot of fans that are kind of negative towards TNA for a whole host of reasons. And maybe not having enough patience. I mean, they just got the 2 hours, so it's really hard to really book 1 hour of television as opposed to WWE, which has really 5 hours of television a week.
Sure.
What would you say to those fans, the disgruntled fan out there that look to TNA to be the alternative wrestling organization and really haven't felt fulfilled by Total Nonstop Action Wrestling? Is there anything you could say to those fans to reassure them to say, stick with us, and things are going to start to get a lot better?
You know what? The reason why, you know, just be a little bit patient, and you're right, you're going to see a difference. We have athletes that haven't had the opportunity to shine yet. You know, having that 1 hour, it was real difficult, and we were speeding a lot of the storylines, and there's a lot of things that didn't, like, you know, weren't connecting because we were trying to get so much done in 1 hour. You know, now we're going to 2 hours, and we have to get comfortable with the 2 hours. So it's not like when you just jump to 2 hours, it's going to be a huge success right away. So we're kind of making adjustments as well. And I'm saying, please be patient. TNA is the alternative. They do have better wrestlers. I don't know where the, I don't know where the misconception of, you know, like Vince Russo, who's an incredible writer, he has come up with a lot of great things. The thing is, you know, you got to remember there's more than one writer. You know, Jeff Jarrett's a great booker, and those two working together are actually a great duo. But you got to remember that they both have to agree on terms all the time. And a lot of times, you know, they're not on the same wavelength. So, you know, some things get shut down, some things don't. So, they're trying to work together, and, you know, and there's the rumors of me getting involved. I'm not getting involved with anything. I'm doing what Jeff Jarrett tells me to. Vince Russo will call me during the week and let me know what's coming up, and, you know, I'm behind them 100%. And I will tell you that the TV is going to get better. The athletes are going to become bigger. We're signing big names that are coming in. So, just be patient. You're going to see that TNA is going to be the better show. It's just going to take a little bit of time. Just be patient.
You just touched on this, and I have to ask about those rumors of some sort of dissension between you and maybe a couple of other parties within TNA management. Do you want to just kind of squash those rumors right now? And
Yeah, I would love to. There was a rumor that there's a power struggle between Jeff Jarrett and I. You know what? Jeff and I we're the best of friends. And, you know, we have been on the same terms since day one. Rumors have it that wrestlers were talking and this and that, and, you know, I want to take over, and I'm having a power struggle with Dixie against Jeff Jarrett. They're all false statements. Jeff and I have been working together since day one. He has been utilizing me as the top guy. And, you know, from day one, he told me, trust me, and I will take you places where you've never gone before. And I trust Jeff, and I trust him with my career, with my life. And I think that Vince Russo is the best writer in the business. and now he has 2 hours to show it. With an hour, it was kind of hard. So, you know, you got to remember that, you know, it's really only 42 minutes when you, you know, when you take the commercials, you know, when you put the commercials in, you really only have 42 minutes of programming a week with 1 hour. So now, you know, we're able to double that. You're going to see a big difference, and you're going to see that that these stars that haven't really been, you know, shined before, you're going to see them shine through, especially guys like AJ Styles that to get an opportunity to be the very top guy, and Samoa Joe, who's growing rapidly, in Abyss, and guys like Robert Roode and James Storm, and, you know, guys like that haven't had the opportunity to be the top talent. You're going to see guys like that shine through, and there are guys that you don't even know that I haven't mentioned that are going to do really well. I see a guy like Kaz that has a big future, and he just started out right now. So things are going to happen. Big things are going to happen for TNA in the near future.
And Kurt, before we let you go, TNA is rapidly growing, getting the 2 hours on Spike TV, and as of late, the WWE ratings continue to drop. They've at some times moved under 3, which a couple of years ago would be shocking if you told anyone that. Any bold predictions? If we talk with you in a year from now, where do you think the sort of power struggle between TNA and WWE will lie?
I think that it's going to take us more than a year to catch up to WWE. Vince McMahon is not a dumb guy. He knows what he's doing. Right now, it's really the obvious. He's short of talent. You know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels were out with injury, along with Undertaker. Then John Cena goes out, and, you know, Triple H is back. So they haven't had enough talent to fill that 5 hours a week. And you know, that's the problem with, you know, with WWE, is they got too much time and not enough talent. With TNA, we have too much talent and not enough time. So, you know what, it's going to take us a little longer than a year, but we'll catch up to WWE, and then, you know what, God willing, you know, the pro wrestling circuit will explode, and then we'll have the Monday Night Wars like we used to have with WCW and WWE. I think that's going to happen eventually. It has to happen. Once it does, wrestling will become popular.
Saturday night at UFC 77, Dana White made a huge announcement that he had signed a former opponent of yours and a man who will be linked with you for the rest of his career, former NCAA champion Brock Lesnar. Signed him. The terms of the deal were not announced, but it appears as though he's going to make his UFC debut this February. First off, can I get your thoughts on Brock Lesnar switching over to the MMA world and now about to debut with UFC?
Yeah, I think he's in the prime of his career. I think he made a smart move. It's about time that someone gets one over on Dana. I know he's going to get a lot of money. And, you know, I look at UFC and I see a company making a lot of money, you know, selling out arenas, getting, you know, 500,000 to 1 million pay-per-view buys. And, you know, you only see one or two guys getting taken care of. You know, these guys are fighting their butts off. And, you know, some of these guys are only fighting for a few thousand dollars. You know, it's not like pro wrestling where you can wrestle every week and recuperate. You know, you need time to train. You need time to be prepared for your opponent. And these guys, you know, their shelf lives are not nearly as long as a pro wrestler. So from that standpoint, you know, most of the fighters don't get paid enough, and I think that Dana White needs to step forward and start taking care of his boys. You know, when they're there, that he needs to shine them, he needs to pay them good. You know, these guys are putting their bodies and their careers on the line to make UFC what it is. So, you know, in return, I think he should be paying them a heck of a lot more money. A rumor had it that last fight, two top fighters fight, and the top guy made $500,000, which I think is okay for a main event. And then I heard his opponent only made $24,000. I mean, that's, you know, that's just unethical. You know, you got to treat your fighters fairly. And when you're paying people that poorly, it's not even worth getting in the octagon and fighting. You know, like I said, these guys have short careers, and, you know, when they're done, they're going to be lucky if they're going to be able to walk straight. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think Dana White needs to be a better businessman and step up for the boys.
Are you surprised at all that Lesnar, I mean, we all know that he had his debut in K1 this past June in a very easy victory. Are you surprised that he's jumped this quickly into the UFC and for what many people will not argue with the fact that it is the major leagues of martial arts?
No. You know what? He was ready. You know, Brock already is a tremendous athlete. He's not an Olympic gold medalist. He's an NCAA champion. There's a leaps and bounds difference between the two. But Brock brings something to the table, and that is size and speed. Not only is he an excellent wrestler, you know, he's so massive and so quick for his size that it's going to be difficult for anyone to stay with him. You know, he's still, I think, in his 20s. He might be 29 or 30. And, you know, like I said, he's in the prime of his life and his career. I think Brock made a smart move. I think he made a smart move with Dana. I think Dana's going to take care of him. But, you know, I like Dana White. I think he's a good guy. I think he's done an incredible job. I just think that, you know, you're not going to get guys like Brock every day, but at the same time, you got guys that train 10 times harder to get a lot more less. And, you know, these guys are putting their bodies on the line for the name, the brand name, UFC. And I think a lot more guys should get paid more.
So you just mentioned that you like Dana White and you have the utmost respect for him. I just wanted to read you something that Dana said yesterday in the post-fight press conference for UFC 77 when discussing the signing of Brock Lesnar to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He said, and I'm quoting here, "I don't think there are any other pro wrestlers who can make the transition to MMA except for Brock Lesnar," end quote. And to me, when I read that, I view that as kind of a shot at you because clearly we all know you're one of the best pro wrestlers out there. And you've discussed heavily about wanting to step into the octagon and in MMA in general. And now Dana comes out and says something like that. How do you view that kind of statement?
Well, you know what? Dana, obviously, you know, Dana is more of a fan of fighting than he is a fighter. Although I think his dream he would love to be able to get in there and fight, you know, Dana just doesn't have it. So, you know, from the other perspective, a businessman perspective, I think he was there at the right time. You know, he kind of, a regular guy that ended up being there at the right time, took advantage of the situation and did real well with it. And I'm happy for him. But, to me, it is a slap in the face because, you know, when Brock and I would mess around in the ring and we'd wrestle, I pretty much manhandled the guy. And Dana White knows that. And, you know, all Dana's trying to do is get to me because, you know, now I'm more pro-IFL and I'm not so much UFC anymore. And that has a lot to do. You know, Dana made the dumbest remark in the world that I just, like, am dumbfounded. He told me, he goes, "Why in the world would you quit WWE and go to TNA?" He goes, "Why would you do that? Your popularity just plummeted." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Dana, if I didn't leave WWE, I wouldn't be talking to you right now." In other words, Vince McMahon wouldn't allow me to talk to Dana White. So that just shows that Dana White doesn't even understand, you know, the concept of, you know, a guy that left WWE, goes to TNA, which is another great wrestling program. I mean, you know, it's not as popular as WWE yet, but they're growing and they're doing well. And I got out of WWE, so I'd have the opportunity to talk to Dana White. And he tells me, he was trying to degrade me by saying, "Well, geez, you're not worth much anymore." And I was like, "Well, if you're not going to pay the money, I'm not going to, you know, I won't even look your way." And it just shows that he has no understanding of pro wrestling or the business or you know, why I would even be talking to Dana White when all he was trying to do was say, "Listen, you know, WWE is a lot better than US or than TNA, and I don't agree with them. It's just that they're at different stages right now. TNA is young. WWE has been around for 100 years." But, you know, Dana White, he's going to make his decisions. He's going to do what he's going to do. And, you know, UFC is going to always do well. I think they're growing and they're going to continue to grow. And if he gets guys like Brock, he's going to do really well. But, you know, he's got to remember that there are a lot of guys out there that are trying to get to Brock's position. You know, Brock, it wasn't like it was given to him. Brock worked his whole life to win an NCAA championship. And then he worked his butt off in WWE to become very popular. And so did he earn that money? Yeah, he definitely deserves the money that Dana's going to pay him. But there are no names out there that are just as good as Brock that aren't going to get paid nearly as much because they're not, quote-unquote, on TV every week like we were in WWE or if you're in TNA or if you're in the Olympics like I was. So, you know, it's just that, to me, you know, Dana White doesn't know me. He doesn't know what I'm capable of doing. He doesn't know that I can actually still go. Yeah, I'm an old man, but Randy Couture is actually 5 years older than I am. So, you know, Dana asked me, first thing he asked me is, are you okay? Can you fight? I said, yeah, I can fight. I'll tell you one thing. Pro wrestling is a lot more dangerous than MMA because of the fact that you're allowing people to pick you up and throw you around at their will, and you can land on your head, you can land in any position. And in MMA, you know, you're protected. You got a referee in there. If something gets too dangerous, the referee stops it. That's why, thank God, there aren't any serious injuries in MMA. In pro wrestling, there are serious injuries every week. So, you know, the injury factor is a lot bigger in pro wrestling than it is in MMA. So for him to ask me, you know, can you fight? If I can get in the ring in pro wrestling, I can definitely fight.
That being said, and in spite of all these comments, and in light of all these comments from Dana White, do you have any interest in ever working for him under his UFC banner, or are you kind of turned off by him at this point?
I'm a little turned off by him. I just hear rumors and just the way that, you know, you watch the TV show and it's not a bad show. It's, you know, the production could be, you know, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good show. I enjoy watching Ultimate Fighter, and, you know, mainly because it's on Spike TV. But, you know, at the same time, these kids, and their kids, they have no understanding that, you know, for the next 2, 3, 4 years, they're going to get paid literally nothing to fight. And, you know, and a lot of them are married. They're 21, 22 years old. They're married. Some have kids. And they got to take care of their families. And the fighting isn't going to cut it. Not when you're getting $3,000 or $4,000 for one fight and you're only fighting. You know, Dana might only call you up once or twice a year. So, you know, you got to look at that and say, geez, you know, if I'm going to fight for you and you're going to be packed, you know, you're going to get $1 million house and let's say $600,000 buys, then I think each fighter on that card should get a piece of that, you know, and I think UFC will still end up with millions of dollars regardless. So I think that I think that he is shortchanging his talent, and he needs to turn that around and take care of his guys, because you know what, in the long run, God forbid, if everybody smartens up and says, geez, you know what, it's not worth me fighting because, you know, I'm only going to make $15,000 this year, if I'm lucky, then guys are going to turn away and they're not going to fight anymore. And then Dana White's going to turn around and say, well, where'd everybody go? And, you know, that's where he has to be a little bit smarter. He needs to start taking care of the boys. And, you know, I put them under some contracts where they get guarantees, like pro wrestling. And if he doesn't want to call them up, at least pay them so they can take care of their families.
So you told us yesterday that you trained a little in MMA thus far, and we all know Brock has had one pro fight, and he's been training for the last 2 years. If someone were to put you and Brock Lesnar in an MMA fight right now, today, who do you think would come out on top?
That would be tough. Right now, there's no doubt. I mean, Brock actually has more training than me, but, you know, the one thing about an old cat, I'm a little smarter than Brock. You know, I know what I'm capable of doing. I know what I'm not capable of doing. I'm not going to put myself in a situation that's going to be dangerous for me. So, you know, like when I would wrestle with Brock in the ring, I made sure that I wouldn't put myself in a scenario where he could score on me. You know, and that's what it's all about, strategy and tactic and preparing for a fight. You know, Brock is a great takedown guy. He's going to ground and pound. He's not an excellent submission guy right now, but I'm sure he's working on it. His striking, I heard, is okay. You know, as long as he continues to work on it, I can't really see how the fight would end up right now. One thing I would have to do is, I train hard every day, but not hard enough to go into that octagon and have 3 5-minute rounds and be able to not get exhausted. You know, so I would have to do my exhaust training to get ready for it. But you know, Brock's a tough competitor. I think that he will be one of the top guys there. And how would I fare against Brock? I think that it would be an even matchup right now. So that would tell you where I would be on the card.
And finally, before we let you go, and you touched a bit about the kind of the financial aspect of the UFC and how some people think they don't pay their fighters enough. Just last week, the current UFC heavyweight champion, Randy Couture, quit the promotion and is now saying that he's looking elsewhere. Whether it was due to financial reasons or not is not quite clear just of yet. What do you think about Randy Couture leaving and kind of standing up to the UFC and Dana White and saying, listen, if you're not going to pay me enough, I'm taking my game elsewhere?
I think it's incredible. My hat's off to Randy Couture. I have all the respect in the world for him. I think that he has proven himself. I think that even if he just steps in the ring and waves to the fans, Dana should give him six figures. That's the kind of guy Randy Couture is. That's what he's done for UFC. And obviously, somebody isn't taking care of him, so he's taking his game elsewhere. Randy Couture can still go now, and he will. He'll go somewhere else, and he'll do it. And somebody else is going to pay him. But, you know, I think Dana White just lost the nucleus of the UFC with Randy Couture. People like him. You know, he's not flashy. He's not a guy that is going to talk a lot of crap. You know, he's not a guy that's going to light up the UFC, but he was solid, and when he got in the ring, people enjoyed watching him fight. And, you know, Randy Couture was the reason, a lot of the reason why I watched UFC. So, you know, I hope UFC continues to do well without Randy, and they will. But, you know, Randy Couture was the nucleus of UFC, and having him leave is definitely a big blow. Wherever he goes, whoever gets them, they're gonna do pretty well.
Well, Kurt, we saw Brock sitting octagon side yesterday, and then we read the comments from Dana. We just had to reach out to you to see what you had to say about all this. We really appreciate you taking the time, and you know, hopefully one day we'll get to see that MMA fight, Brock versus Kurt, in the octagon for one time. Thanks so much, Kurt.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you this: if Dana puts up $5 million for both Brock and I, we'll do it. You know, that's the kind of fight that would be. I mean, that's the kind of money that would have to be shelled out in order for Brock and I to fight each other. One, we're friends. Two, we're two of the top wrestlers in the world. And three, you know, we've obviously proven ourselves, not just in amateur wrestling, but pro wrestling, but that we're both very tough. And I, you know, if a fight were to come to fruition with the popularity of Brock's name and my name, you know, a promoter needs to step it up and say, listen, I'm going to make a lot of money here. I'm probably going to make $50 million on this fight, so I can guarantee them both five. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of money they're going to have to throw at Brock and I to have that kind of fight.
Well, you heard it right here. Dana, if you're listening, Kurt's available. You just signed Brock. Make the fight happen. The fans want to see it. Kurt, we wish you...
And also, I forgot to tell you, a lot of the reason why I didn't go to Dana is because he said I could not wrestle and fight at the same time. So I couldn't understand that. Because he asked me why did I leave WWE, and then I was talking to him, and he basically told me that I couldn't wrestle and fight at the same time, which is difficult to do, but I think the fans are smart enough to know when a fight is a fight and a wrestling match is a wrestling match.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Kurt, and hopefully one day we might be able to see that match. I know the clock is ticking, but Brock's in there. And maybe if the IFL thing doesn't work out, maybe the UFC can get you. I know it's you guys are on shaky ground right now, but a fan can hope, right?
Oh, well, you know what? The offer always stands open.